Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts? Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 6 and I'm your host, Emily Chadbourne. And I have been challenged this week to record an entire episode in one take. Wah, wah, wah. So, not quite sure what that sound effect was about, but I'm going to give it a bash. So we will see. There'll be lots of umming in this and potentially more swearing than normal. But yeah, I am going to try my very best just to speak for a full 20 minutes and not stop and start and correct myself. Why am I telling you that? Oh, I'm telling you that because I have been running a real perfectionist strategy around producing this podcast. And I've had to really look at that. It's something that I didn't really think I had. I didn't think I ran a perfectionist strategy because I didn't necessarily present perfectionism, quite slapdash. And I have been learning more and more about perfectionism and running that perfectionist strategy to stay safe. And it's brought up quite a lot of stuff, which I'm deconstructing at the moment. The moment I've done that, the moment I feel okay in it, I will share it. I will let you know my findings. Until then, bear with me while I become a complete and total and utter imperfectionist. Is that a word? I've also got asked this week, which I thought was really lovely, and maybe I'll just add this into every podcast now, what I am reading. And I get asked this question quite a lot, actually. But someone emailed info@emilychadbourne.com and said, loving your podcast, thank you. Would you let me know what kind of stuff you read? So I have a wide range of reading and listening material. And I actually run a book club thread in my Next Level Results client group. So the people who join me on a sort of 6-month path to self-discovery and learning about how to attract abundance and how to manifest different results for themselves. We have a Facebook group and I actually run a book club in there because I think it's really important that, you know, for me, certainly, it's really important that I expose myself to as many ideas and concepts and as many people as possible who can present those concepts to me in a different way. You know, so often I will listen to a podcast or I will read a book and I will be given the same piece of information that I've been given time and time again by multiple practitioners. But for whatever reason, at that time or that particular delivery or that particular practitioner or coach or author presents it to me in such a way that I'm like, wow, I've never looked at it like that before. So for me, you know, my mental education, my emotional education, I don't know, I've stopped saying those words now, the education that I give myself around my mindset and around deconstructing who I am so that I can reconstruct somebody who is going to attract the things that I want in life is high priority, like top priority. It's more important for me than watching Married at First Sight or a Netflix documentary. It's more important to me than drinking a bottle of wine, although it didn't used to be, but that has definitely changed now. It's more important for me to learn how to truly be my fullest expression of self and to catch when I'm not being that, because when I'm not being my truest expression of self, I run perfectionist strategies. Wah, wah. And I really struggle to attract the things that I want. I struggle to attract love. I struggle to feel connected in my existing relationships. I struggle to feel abundant with the money that I do have, let alone attracting in even more. And so the more work I do on myself, the more I can share and give and contribute to other people. And therefore, the more abundance comes my way. So it was a really long-winded way of me explaining to you why I read a lot of books and listen to a lot of podcasts and invest thousands and thousands of dollars in coaches and courses for myself. So what I am reading at the moment, well, what I bought this week was a book called How to Fail by a woman called Elizabeth Day, who is a British author and journalist. And she actually does have her own podcast, which I highly recommend that you go and listen to. It's brilliant. I will pop the link in the show notes. Her name is Elizabeth Day, and the book is called How to Fail. Look, I haven't opened it yet, I'm going to be really honest. But it is sitting on my desk in front of me now, daring me not to go for a run this afternoon, but to pick it up and read it instead. And it literally is, well, the podcast is a series of interviews with people who have found success on the other end of failure. So if you're anything like me, you're still kind of grappling with this concept that success and failure are the same thing, that because of the paradox of life, in order to succeed, one must first fail. And I have known that theory, I've known that intellectually for a really long time. And if I'm going to be completely bullshit honest, it's taking me quite a long time to really emotionally and spiritually step into that concept and really genuinely embody it. I still have a massive issue with failure. I would still rather avoid it, hence my perfectionist strategy, right? If I'm really busy trying to make something perfect, I'm not actually doing it, and therefore I can't be failing at it. So it's something that I've had to, especially as an entrepreneur, I hate that word, especially as a business owner, I've had to really work at my belief system around failure, at what I believe failure to be, at what I think failure might be like dangerous to me or something. Like, I've had to really, really dig deep and ask myself to take action that has felt very uncomfortable so that I can prove to myself that failure is okay. And I'm still doing that. And I would imagine I'll be doing it for life, because the way that I was raised, the society in which I live in, and my biological wiring are all screaming at me to do the safe thing where I will feel comfortable and not the shit scary thing, which is fail and fuck it up and expose yourself and be vulnerable and then do it again until you hit the sweet spot and find success. So, yeah, it's a brilliant podcast series. She interviews some really interesting people, and a whole range of people as well, actually, not just like entrepreneurs or, you know, sports people or athletes. I believe they're called athletes, but like a real hodgepodge of people. And it's a brilliant series. So How to Fail by Elizabeth Day. I've bought the book, haven't committed to reading it yet, but when I do, I will give you my review. The books that I am reading at the moment is I'm reading Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. I'm always reading that book. I really probably every single week will pick it up and read a few pages out of it for those of you who are really interested in the scientific foundation of manifestation. It is absolutely at the core of everything I teach. It's a brilliant book. It's definitely stood the test of time. And the other book, more interestingly, in my opinion, is a book called Educated by Tara Westover. And my sister recommended this book to me just as a really good read, for no other reason than it's a really interesting read. And it is a memoir, obviously, by Tara Westover. And she basically had the most interesting childhood. I'm going to read the blurb off the back of the book because it's easier than me trying to explain it to you. Tara Westover and her family grew up preparing for the end of days, but according to the government, she didn't exist. She hadn't been registered for a birth certificate. She had no school records because she never set foot in a classroom, and no medical records because her father didn't believe in hospitals. As she grew older, her father became more radical and her brother more violent. At 16, Tara knew she had to leave home. In doing so, she discovered both the transformative power of education and the price that she had to pay for it. This book is fucking brilliant. Like, not only is it just a really bloody good read, a very beautifully constructed, very beautifully elegantly written story, and the story itself is just like compulsive reading. I have lost hours of sleep to reading this book. But I think for me, in terms of human behavior, what it really highlights is how we are so shaped by our environment. You know, we are born without consciousness. We are not born knowing about the society in which we live in. We're not even born with a pre-programming for a certain language. All of this stuff is learned, and it's learned in the formative years, 0 to 7. We call them the imprint years in coaching. And this book is a true sort of testament to that. You know, you've got this young child who was born with this radical father who genuinely believed in every conspiracy theory going, the end of the world was coming, and, you know, didn't expose his children to education or to the outside world. And so as a result, she just grew up believing that what her father said was true and having no other point of reference to that. And it's obviously an extreme case, but the really interesting part of the story comes when she kind of decides to leave because she doesn't feel physically safe in the household anymore. And, you know, the way that she sort of tells the narrative of like being in this whole new world and having to learn, you know, she tells this story about like being in a lecture and she didn't know what the Holocaust was. You know, she has no frame of reference, and she was looking at all of these other people and feeling like they were a real threat to her because they were wearing tight clothes and the girls were wearing makeup. And she had been indoctrinated her entire life with this belief that if you wore makeup, you were a whore and you were going to go to hell, and that was where you were going to perish. Your soul was going to perish in hell for eternity. And like watching this story unfold as her brain begins to work out that actually the stuff that she has been fed may not be true. It's absolutely fascinating, and it's very empathetically done. It is done with such grace and such dignity. There's not a hint of victimhood in her storytelling. It's an all-round 10 out of 10 for me. I've got to be honest, I'm probably only 2/3 of the way through. I've got another third to go. But it's so good that literally I took the book. I'm taking the book everywhere with me. Like, it's just permanently in my handbag. I'm like now arriving to meetings early and hoping the other person will be late so that I've got 5-10 minutes just to sit and devour this narrative. And this book has really got me thinking, because it's a brilliant, I mean, it's an extreme example, but it's a brilliant example of how we all function as human beings. You know, we are born into our family unit, and in those imprint years, we don't have any conscious awareness outside of that family unit. So what our parents or our caregivers, for the ease of this podcast, I'm just going to call them parents. I know not everyone is brought up with their biological parents, but when I say parents, what do I mean? Caregivers. I say parents, you say caregivers. We don't ever question what we are told. We don't question the belief systems that are demonstrated to us. We don't question the behavior. All we know as children is, do I feel safe? Yes or no. And so today what I'd really like to talk about is this idea of, what have you been told, demonstrated, indoctrinated with, that as an adult you are still allowing to navigate you and guide the decisions that you do and do not make? You know, I know a lot of my clients come to me because they have a feeling that they're not worthy, that they're not good enough. You know, for me, failure was never really demonstrated to me. And that's not because my parents were assholes. My parents were fucking awesome. I am so lucky to have had the divine parents that I had, exceptionally lucky. But failure wasn't demonstrated. Failure, it wasn't accepted. It just wasn't talked about. I never saw failure be demonstrated to me. And I was often shown, take the safe choice over the scary choice, take the sure bet over the exciting bet. And I have had it said to me many a times in my childhood, you know, don't do the things that you're not very good at. You don't have to do the things that you're not very good at. You know, if you're not very good at it, don't do it. And as a small child, I just interpreted that to mean you shouldn't do the things that you're not very good at. And of course, anything that we do in the first instance were not going to be very good at. You know, you weren't very good at walking when you started doing that. I was a terrible driver the first drive I ever had in my car. I wasn't a very good coach for the first 2 or 3 years. You know, I was learning, I was developing the skill. And so when you have this mindset, which was conditioned into me from a very young age, like in my infant childhood, this belief system or this understanding that it's much easier just to do the stuff that you're naturally really, really good at, and don't do the stuff that's scary, don't do the stuff that's risky, play the safe game all of the time. And if you had some kind of failure, because my parents themselves were never taught how to deal with failure, when I did something that I wasn't very good at or that I didn't excel at, it was either you go and do that better or don't do it, stop doing it. Because as children, we are an extension of our parents. And so quite often when we demonstrate a behavior or an action that our parents feel triggers them, we just get told off for it, because it's too close to home for our parents to deal with. So if my parents never learned how to deal with failure, how could they teach me how to deal with failure? If my parents never learned the paradigm, hey, failure is a really good thing. The more you fail, the closer you get to success. You should go out and fuck it up all day, every day. Go out and fuck up as much as possible. Don't make the same mistake, because that's just fucking batshit. But go out and mess stuff up so that you can learn how to do something brilliantly. If my parents had been taught that, they could have taught me that. But they didn't. They weren't taught that. And so how could they pass that on to me? They didn't. They passed on to me what they could. And what they had learned was, don't do the scary shit. Don't do the stuff that might mean that you're going to fail. Do the safe stuff that you know is going to work out. And that's great if you want a mediocre life. But I don't. I don't. I want to run my own business. I want to support people. I want to help people. I want to have a global influence on this planet. When I die, I want to leave a fucking legacy. I want to have wealth beyond my wildest dreams. I want to have connection. I want to have love. I want to have abundance. I want to be able to give back. I want to start my own charity. I want to leave this incarnation knowing that it fucking mattered. And you don't get that if you're not willing to fail. But I was just never taught how to. In fact, I was taught the opposite. And as a result, when I got to 33 years old, I was waiting fucking tables for $20 an hour. Why? Because it was safe. You can't fail at waiting tables. Well, I couldn't anyway, because I was that kind of person. Not everyone is designed to be a waitress. But I was, apparently, for 33 years. And that's not because I had a burning desire to serve table 24 a fucking beer and a sirloin steak. I was a waitress because it was the safe thing for me to do, because everything else had an element of failure or potential failure attached to it. And up until I was 33 years old, I had a belief that I had learned from the day I was born, which was, it is better not to try than it is to fail. And in exactly the same way that this woman who wrote this book, Educated, Tara Westover, in exactly the same way that until she escaped her family home and saw that there were other opinions, other thoughts, other ways of being, and began to kind of have that paradigm shifted and shaken, actually, maybe you're not going to go and burn in hell if you wear lip gloss. Maybe if you wear a pair of jeans, you are not the spawn of Satan. Maybe, just maybe, my father was wrong. And watching her, through her writing, come to this kind of like light bulb moment in her life when she realized that the stories that she'd been fed were just stories, and that there are as many stories as there are people on this planet, and she can choose to think in a completely different way and therefore have a completely, totally different experience in this life, is just like, it's an amplified version of how I felt when I realized that actually what I believe to be true is being reflected back to me in my reality. And if I don't like my reality, then I get to change my belief. Shift my belief, I will naturally shift the action that I take, and then the action that I take will manifest in a different result. And the moment that I decided to adopt this idea that in order to succeed, I first must fail, and that failure isn't a weakness, it is a strength. And as long as I learn my lesson and fail from a different angle, in a different way, a different thing, I'm still fucking winning. The moment I adopted that, I started taking massively different action, and that massively different action has had me create the amazing life that I currently have. And I will continue to adopt that belief. It's every day, it's a choice, right? You don't just go, oh, there's a limiting belief. I'll just put this other belief in its place. Ta-da! Because for a long time, you don't believe it. For a long time, you have to pretend that you believe this other thing. For a long time, I had to pretend that I was friends with failure. And even now, when I'm tired, when it feels really big, when the thing that I'm doing is really summoning me to be a very different version of me or to move with a confidence that I don't really feel yet, like blind fucking faith, right? In those moments, I don't believe it. In those moments, I'm like, fuck, what if I fail? And I have to almost pretend to be the person that believes that success and failure are the same thing. Paradoxically, they are the same thing. I almost have to like act out the role of somebody who is really great friends with failure, because otherwise, if I'm just being me, I'll take the action that me thinks I should take. Current me thinks I should take the action that my parents taught me to take, because the de-godification of your parents is a forever process. And my parents told me to play the safe game, not because they were assholes. Not blaming my parents. My parents are awesome. Well, my dad is. My mum's dead, but my dad is awesome. You know, they just did the best that they could with the resources that they had available to them. And I think if they could have done any better, they would have done. So, you know, I'm not blaming my parents for this limiting belief, but as an adult, I'm taking responsibility to change it.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychaborn.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.
Good morning, you're awesome. So what I'm going to urge you to do today is have a look at what it is that you believe. What is it that you believe to be true? What have you been taught by your parents or caregivers? You know, what was demonstrated to you? Do you believe that all men are assholes? You know, did your dad walk out on you? Did your mum have a succession of dickhead boyfriends in and out? Maybe your mum even said the words to you, "Don't trust men, Vicky." And now here you are as a 30-something-year-old woman. And funnily enough, all men in your life are untrustworthy. Because that's not coincidence. And if you want to know what it is that you believe, look at your results. I say this all the time to my clients. The universe isn't hiding anything from you. All of the feedback that you need in front of you right now is in front of you right now. You know, have a look at your results, because there's your feedback. If you are struggling to keep money in your hands, if you are struggling to build wealth, then there is a belief system behind money. Money is a mental game, completely, 100%. Money is a mental game. It's got nothing to do with the economy. It's got nothing to do with the job that you did or did not decide to do. Your financial wealth is completely dependent on your mindset, 100%. I've never, ever been more sure of that than I am right now.
So have a look at that. You know, your relationships. Do you believe that all men are assholes? Did your mum tell you that all men are assholes? Are you now experiencing all men being assholes? You know, that's not because the world is only full of men who are assholes, because my world is not full of men who are assholes. My world is full of men who are fucking awesome, and they're kind, and they're strong, and they're generous, and they're emotionally connected to themselves, to each other, to me. That's my experience of men, because I had a beautiful, wonderful childhood where my parents were a team and lovely, and my dad's a legend. So I have a really good, healthy relationship with men. And that shows in my results. If I didn't, I would need to have a look at that if I want my results to change. I can't expect men to change because men are not the problem. I have to change. I have to change my thinking. I have to change my belief system. The moment you change your belief system, the moment that you will act differently, you will feel differently, you will vibe differently, the universe will react to you differently, you will begin to come across other people, circumstances, opportunities, and experiences, which are now shifting to meet this higher vibrational frequency of abundance. All men are amazing. Money is easy to make. I am worthy of a fit and healthy body. I am completely and totally and utterly worthy of setting down my boundaries. It's okay that I ask for a pay rise. It's okay that I stand in my power. It's okay that as a woman, I ask for what I want. It's okay to be fucking alive. It's okay that I take up space on this planet. And if you don't believe that, the planet isn't going to make space for you. You have to make the space. So now I want to walk you through the system that I share with my clients. And I do this with myself all of the time because, you know, limiting beliefs, they don't come up just once. They come up over and over and over and over again in all sorts of different ways. And every time I level up, every time I shift my paradigm, every time I step into the next version of me, which calls in the next level of my results, I kind of have to do the work again. And it does get easier to do the work again and again and again. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, that's funny. I thought I dealt with that limiting belief. I thought that maybe I believed that I was worthy. And actually, I do believe I'm worthy of the stuff that I've just achieved. But do I believe I'm worthy of the next level? Oh, okay, I'm going to have to address that belief system yet again, because I'm now a different version of me. And so this is forever work. But once you learn the formula is yours forever, and you just keep repeating it, right? So I'm going to share with you an activity which comes directly from the Course Champion Companion, which is the workbook that all of my Next Level Results clients receive. So they have the PDF electronic version in the membership site, but they also get a hard copy delivered to their door with all sorts of beautiful presents attached to it, because I'm a huge believer in like tangible physical presents. Actually, I'm a believer in presents, all right? I believe in presents. I love a good gift. Diamonds would be great if you were thinking of sending me anything, but we'll take chocolates or flowers. When I first came across this exercise, it was through the work of Lisa Nichols. It was in one of her books, and I don't remember which one it was, but it's definitely originally came to me from the work of Lisa Nichols. I've adapted it over the years of being in practice and working through this as a living document with myself, but also facilitating the space for my clients to be able to go through it as well. So very simply, all you're going to do is take a wad of writing paper, maybe a dozen sheets, and you're going to grab yourself a lead pencil that you can rub out and a red pen. And give yourself some time and some space to do this, because it is a big activity. And you can either decide to focus on one particular area of your life. So it might be health, it might be romantic relationships, it might be making money, it might be business, it might be self-worth. Or you can just decide to just like go full frontal and like just whack down everything and anything that comes to your head in whatever order it comes. Totally up to you. There's no right way, no wrong way of doing it. You sit down with the pencil first, and you quite simply, let's say that you are going to write down, let's say that you're looking at your results and you've just got like a car crash history with romantic relationships. So you're going to decide to focus on that particular area. You're going to take your pencil, you're going to sit down, play some beautiful music, not like screamy, shouty music in the background, not music that's going to distract you or make you want to sing along, like just some like chilled fucking tunes in the background, or in complete silence, not with the kids running around, not while you're writing the shopping list at the same time. Like, give yourself the respect to give yourself the time and space to do this properly. Sit down, nice cup of tea, not a glass of wine, nice cup of tea. And with the pencil, all you are going to do is you're going to write out everything that you believe about romantic relationships. And you're going to start every sentence with, I believe. I believe relationships are hard. I believe men are assholes. I believe women are dickheads. I believe, insert here. All, and you're just going to write out everything. It doesn't matter if you have beliefs that contradict each other. It doesn't matter how you phrase it. It doesn't matter if you spell it right. It does not matter what your handwriting looks like. That was a resistance that came to me once from a client. She was like, oh, I'm uncomfortable doing this. I've got bad handwriting. I was like, who the fuck is going to see it? Stop giving yourself those bullshit excuses. If you're going to live behind that kind of excuse, I can predict what the rest of your life is going to look like in terms of the results that you're going to get for yourself. So just do the exercise. Don't think about it. Just sit down and do it. Your subconscious mind knows exactly what needs to come out on that piece of paper. You cannot write too much. If you've only got two beliefs, fucking put that excuse down, whatever bullshit you're telling yourself. Because believe me, everybody has got a gazillion beliefs about a gazillion things. None of them is right. None of them is wrong. Right? Your belief isn't right or wrong. It's just that your belief is getting you the result you're currently getting. So if you want to change that result, you've got to go back and do the core work. What do I believe to be true? What am I believing as my truth? Do I believe the end of days is coming? Do I believe that wearing lip gloss makes you a whore? Do I believe that I'm not worthy? Do I believe that failure is something that you should avoid at all costs? Do I believe that making money is hard? Because if I believe that, that's showing in my results. So you're going to write it all down, yeah, with your lead pencil, and you're going to leave after every belief. So I believe romantic relationships are hard. I believe marriage ends in tears, whatever it might be. After every belief that you write out, every sentence, you're going to leave a line beneath it. So really spaced out, you've got all of the beliefs, and you're going to write till your hand cramps, till you've got nothing else. Then what you're going to do is you are going to have a little dance party with yourself. What? You are going to get some tunes going. I don't know why I'm talking like this. You're going to have a dance party. You're going to shake it off. You might go for a run. You're going to go get some fresh air. You're going to put your feet in the soil so that you can feel grounded. Maybe you are going to have that glass of wine. What? I'll just take a cup of tea. Thank you. Maybe you're going to have a little biscuit. Nice little snack. Whatever it is, you're going to move away from the document, you're going to stretch, you're going to breathe, you're going to energize, you're going to reset yourself, and then you're going to come back with the red pen in your hand. And this time what you're going to do is every time that you see a belief that is limiting, i.e. it is getting you the result that you do not want, we call it limiting belief or an unresourceful belief, you are going to write beneath that belief the opposite of it. So an example of this would be, I believe that relationships are hard. The opposite of that would be, I believe that relationships are easy. Now, some of the beliefs that you've written in your pencil may very well be great beliefs, and you don't want to get rid of them. That's awesome. If I believe that, that's brilliant. And for example, I believe that men are awesome. You want to keep that belief. So just rewrite that belief out in red. Now, sometimes there will be a belief that is so extreme that the opposite of that belief is it's just too much for you to handle. Let me give you an example of this. For a really long time, I had a belief that I wasn't pretty enough to be successful. And again, that's not because my parents were assholes and told me I was ugly. That's not how this works. It's just that was a belief that I had about myself, picked up from a bully at bloody primary school, right? But that belief sat in my head and I continued to believe it. I continued to perpetuate it. I continued to tell myself that I wasn't pretty enough to be successful. And what we tell ourselves, we will eventually believe. So when I first did this exercise, that belief came up for me. I believe I'm not pretty enough to be successful. Now, for me to write the opposite of that belief, I believe I'm hot as fuck, was just way outside of my realm of comprehension. So I wrote down like a medium belief, if that makes sense. So instead of being the opposite, I believe I'm beautiful, I just wrote down, I believe I have a unique beauty inside and out. And that, after a while, I could kind of get to grips with. And now my belief is I believe I'm beautiful. Now, that doesn't mean that I think that I'm bloody Jennifer Aniston or Claudia Schiffer or showing my age, whatever the young, pretty people are called these days, at all. It just means that I have come to really change my view on what is worthy of being called beautiful. And so now I can, in my own power, stand here and say, yeah, I'm beautiful. I'm a great human. I do everything that I can every single day to lead from a place of service and love and compassion and gratitude. Am I a gobby little bitch at times? Yeah, of course, because I'm fucking human. But, you know, ultimately, I'm really falling in love with who I am more and more and more every day. So I can stand here and say, yeah, I'm beautiful. That doesn't mean I think I should start modeling. So now we've got a whole list, right? We've got pencil, red pen, pencil, red pen, pencil, red pen, pencil. Your original belief, the thing that just came pouring out of your mind that you didn't really give huge amounts of conscious awareness to. What do I believe to be true about life in general, or, you know, whatever category you want to be working on? Then underneath each of those pencil statements, you have got a red pen statement, which is a positive belief. Then what you are going to do is read through this document every day. And you don't have to sit down and read it, but like just have it on your desk or, you know, somewhere on your kitchen bench or something. And just every time you walk past it, just casually look at it. And what will happen is the red pen will jump out more for you. And after about a week, what you want to do is sit down with a rubber and rub out all of the lead pencil statements. And so all you're left with are the red pen positive empowering belief statements. And you are going to continue reading them and you are going to continue looking over at them. And what's going to happen is after a few days, you are going to start noticing the internal dialogue that you have about your belief system. You are going to start noticing what internal comments you are making to yourself about relationships. You're going to start shifting your perspective somewhat. You're going to start asking yourself the question, is this true? And what evidence do I have that it's true? And what evidence have I been deleting or distorting or generalizing that could prove that this is not true? That maybe not all men are assholes. Actually, I've got loads of examples of men being really, really great. So why haven't I been allowing myself to see that? And if you need to go and seek evidence to support your new belief, go and do that. And if you're sitting there right now being like, yeah, but I don't believe that I am worthy, or I do believe that all men are assholes, or I've got loads of evidence to support the fact that making money is hard. Let me tell you now that if you looked, if I put a gun to your head and said, I need you to find me five people who are a clear case study demonstration that making money is easy, you could go out and you could get that done in a second, right? If your life depended on it, you would find that evidence. But because we will do anything to support our belief, and therefore we perpetuate, we become like self-fucking fulfilling prophecies, right? We delete, we distort, and we generalize other information that does not fit in line with that original belief. But the moment that you ask yourself that question, is this true? If I wanted to believe something else, if I chose to disregard the story that has been fed to me all of my life, if I chose to believe something different, where can I find evidence to back up that new belief? And how would I act differently? And then you start taking action from that place, your entire fucking world will change. Now, let me be really clear. This is one of the many strategies that I give my clients around belief work. It's a great place to start. Is it going to solve all of the world's problems? Fuck no, but it is a great place to start. And it's one of the many things that I give my clients and facilitate for my clients so that they can start deconstructing and breaking down the bullshit stories that they have been telling themselves, that most of which will have come from childhood or early adolescence, and really questioning, well, who says that I'm not worthy? Who says that I'm not good enough? My parents? My parents aren't God. My parents are just humans with their own baggage, with their own bullshit, with their own fears. And they've been projecting them onto me, not because they're assholes, but because they're human. So actually, what if I chose to believe that I am worthy? What if I chose to believe that making money was easy? What if I chose to believe that success and failure are the same thing? What if I chose to be brave? What if I chose to start telling a different story and start looking at the world differently? So that's my invitation to you. Go do that work. Please let me know how you get on with it. Please email info@emilychaplin.com and use the hashtag unashamedlyhuman and share this shit on social media. I would love it if you did that. Follow me on Instagram, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. And if you haven't signed up to Wake Up With Em yet, what the fuck are you doing? Come on. It's such a beautiful, wonderful, lovely, gorgeous thing to be able to wake up in the morning and see a text message from someone who genuinely believes in you and who genuinely believes that anything is possible.